on the move. He's doing some things. And there's things that we do not hear about that he's doing a lot of times. There's things that we could share about. There's people have God moving in their lives sometimes that we don't hear about. And we think, God, are you out there? Do you even know that we're down here? God, do you recognize that there's this need and that need and so forth? Well, one of the things that we must understand is that God is not moved by our need. God is not moved by our need. He's moved by prayer and faith. He is moved by faith. Just because we have a need does not necessarily mean that God is going to move. I mean, all you have to do is look around the world. There's all kinds of needs that God could move upon. So he's moved by prayer and faith. Now, if you also look around the world, you'll also see that in the Christian circles, in the nations that have been mainly influenced by Christianity, you will see the standard of living in a much greater way. You'll see morality held up in a much greater measure than in other nations. It's far from perfect, and Lord knows we need a real revival in that, but compared to other nations, it is amazing. So where God is, things happen. Where God is on the move, things take place. And I want to share with you this morning, or I want to just listen to a couple of testimonies just recently that came to me. Marlene, come on up here and tell us what happened at the last healing service. Tell us a little bit about what you were dealing with. I believe you said for the last 11 years?
Yeah, 10 or so years. I was out in Calgary, and I don't know, I was having trouble with my ear, so I went to a specialist, and they said there was something wrong with my sinuses. It was similar to what my mother had, and there was nothing they could do until it got worse. So for years, I think every prayer line, I've been going up and praying for my ears, forgot about that word, that it was actually my sinuses and not my ears. It felt like when I would speak that my nose was plugged, and I was speaking like with your nose plugged all the time, and I couldn't hear properly, so I just assumed it was my ears. And at the last prayer meeting, come up to me and prayed for me, and praise God, I was just there, and again, God, heal my ears, Lord. And then when I stepped back for a minute just to say, okay, God, your will be done, I just had a impression, a thought, I don't know, that it's not your ears, it's your sinuses, and he reminded me of the word years ago that I agreed with or whatever. Anyway, he healed me right then. When I stepped back, I just knew I didn't feel anything. I didn't experience anything, but I just knew that it was completely healed. And like I can hear now, praise God.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There are so many things that hold us back sometimes from really enjoying life. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And it's amazing how what sometimes seemingly little things can rob us of abundant life. And yet Jesus came that we might have it all. And he's still doing some miraculous things today that we are really amazed about. Janice, come on up and share what you were sharing with me a little bit earlier concerning what you were dealing with for 35 years. Don't start crying yet anyway.
Yes, for 35 years I've been dealing with. First of all, I think it's really, really important when you have something to share with each other, share your stories with people around you, with your family, with your friends. People need to hear that God is working in your life. Just don't keep something for one big testimony that I can just share with you today. People need to hear how God is working in your life all the time. I knew I was going to start crying, but anyways. So for 35 years, I've been a smoker. I kept saying, I can't do this, I can't put it down, I can't, I can't, I can't. Those words have to leave our vocabulary, by the way. I can't does not exist. God is so big. God can heal. God can do anything. Your prayers need to be big. You have to have big prayers, big dreams, big prayers, because God is so big and he can answer them. I was sitting in my bedroom and by the window, because that's where I think that I can smoke, because the smoke is going to go out and my apartment is not going to stink anyway. So I was sitting on my bed. And
this was Tuesday?
Yes, it was Tuesday. And it was just 5.5, 6 days ago. And no sooner can something come on you than the enemy, the Satan, can also come just as quick and try and take it from you. And it was the same thing with my drinking. Satan came to me so quickly after I professed my faith and what God has done for me. 6 days or 6 weeks, it doesn't matter. God has done something in my life, and he did it for me, and it is not. I'm not giving it back. I'm not giving over to the enemy. Satan does not have control over me. God has the power. God took this from me. So I was sitting on my bed, and all I heard, it wasn't audible, but I heard it, felt it, and knew what was happening all at once, because what I heard was, lay them down. And but at that moment, that could have been anything. But I knew that God was telling me to lay down the cigarettes, and I don't need them. And I've been delivered from smoking.
Amen.
So it's only been 6 days, but it could be 60 years in my heart. They're gone. I no more smoking.
Amen. Great. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's a miracle.
Yes.
When you get delivered in that kind of a way, it's awesome. God is on the move. He's doing things. And we pray, and when we come together for prayer, when we come together, even in our healing services, we are believing for the goodness of God to come upon us, that there'd be some things shift in the spirit, that we would see more and more of the miraculous of God happening in our lives. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the tools today that we want to use in order to see our dreams be fulfilled, be completed, and the things that God desires to do in our lives manifested. There are some things that God has given us in order to live the kind of lives that he wants us to live, so that we are not pushing in. You know, you've heard the term blind faith. Well, there are some things that you step out and do, and it seems like it's blind faith, but really, God has given us some things from his word to stand on that puts us in a position that it's anything but blind faith. When you look at the word of God and continue to believe it, that's not going forth in blind faith. It's going forth because of what the word of God says, because of what the word of God is established on. And so this morning, we want to talk a bit about the Word of God. We want to talk about how powerful it is. We want to mention to the fact that we are a people who are in a position where we can hear from God, where we know God's direction, that we can count on God to do what we cannot do in our lives. And in that, we are thinking about our lives being transformed so that we will be influential in transforming society. I want more in life than for me just to be transformed. I know I'm not done being transformed. I know there's things that still have to be worked out in my life, but I thank God I'm not what I was many years ago. Many people around me are thankful that I'm not like I was. But I thank God that we are on a continual transformation process, but we have to look also beyond ourselves. I'm looking for transformation in the church as a body of believers, that we might be transformed, that we might be on a transforming process that will influence our communities. So our communities will be transformed by the power of God. That we haven't come to church with the me kind of concept, that I've come just to see what I can get out of it, see what can help me to live out life, help me so I can do better in life. No, we want to think about what can we do to bless our communities and see them transform. Paul said, Jesus declared that you are more blessed that when you give than when you receive. So if you spend time looking outside of you, seeing how you can bring transformation to other areas of life, of the community, you will receive a greater blessing than just constantly worrying about you being transformed personally. I mean, blessing, God wants to bless us, and he set things in motion for us to be blessed if we'll pay attention. So some of the first things that we have to kind of realize this morning is that we talked about them a number of times, and I'm not going to go into them in detail, but I want to mention to you three things that we must recognize that if we're going to transform our sphere of influence, then we must understand that things are not always the way they seem. Doesn't matter whenever you get up in the morning that we go to work and there's all kinds of things happening. We have to keep in mind that things are not always the way they seem. In other words, even though everything might look beautiful on the outside, there are principalities and powers over this region that is trying to mold us and shape us into the dark side of things and be conformed to this world. So we must remember things are not always the way they seem. The second thing that we must remember is that we are at war. I think there's one thing that Christianity has to recognize today is that we are at war, that the Christianity is not a place where you come into and everything is a bed of roses. No, Christianity, when you enter into the kingdom of God, you become a kingdom of the citizens of heaven, and then you are called upon then to be a defender of the kingdom of God. You are called upon to be a defender of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are called upon to go out and advance the kingdom of God. And if you are advancing the kingdom of God, then that means that you are coming against another kingdom, and you are trying to influence it into the way of a kingdom of God way of doing things. So that's the second thing. Remember that you are at war. And the third thing is remember that you have a crucial role to play. There's some things that you can't leave to somebody else. There's some things that you must step up to the plate to. Number one, nobody can do the praying for you that you are supposed to pray. Amen. Nobody can do your praying for you. You have to do your own praying. And we are called to pray. God has called us to pray. Number two, nobody can do the witnessing that you were called to do. Nobody can tell the people that Jesus Christ is Lord that you have been called to in the way that you could do it. So you play an absolute crucial role. So just three things to remember. Things are not always the way they seem. We are at war, and you have a crucial part in the transformation of yourself and society. So today we want to talk a little bit about the tools to fulfill the dream. Tools to fulfill the dream. There are tools that God has given us. We've been talking about dreams lately for the last number of weeks. We talked about the dream big. We talked about that God has put a dream on the inside of you, and it's up to you to find out what that dream is. And we talked also about how as we step out to fulfill the dream, that we have faith that God will touch the activity that we get involved in, bring an anointing on it so it will be able to be a whole lot more effective than what would happen if God wasn't involved. In other words, if you have a dream to influence the elderly in our communities and you step out, you say, how am I going to do that, Lord? How am I going to make any difference? And you step out to go in, to start to go into some of the seniors' homes, and you begin to go in there and talk to them and minister to them. You can expect God to use you in a powerful way that will actually transform some of the people and the homes that you enter into. In other words, you can expect God to do some awesome things through your efforts, through your personal efforts. God will anoint your ability to be more effective than you could ever possibly dream. Because when you move in God's dream, God will anoint it. Amen? You will. Now, some of the tools to enter into your dream, the first and foremost one is the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says this, "The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of the soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now that is a huge statement that the writer of Hebrews gave us. The Word of God is that powerful that it's living. First of all, it's alive. The Word of God has life in it, so when you read it, when you hear it, when you sing it, you can expect to have life being imparted to you. And in fact, the Century Bible puts it this way, that the Word of God has released this life. The Word of God releases life into our spirits. Now, If the word of God is sharp and it's living, it's powerful, what is it living and powerful and sharp to do? Well, it's really hard to divide the soul and spirit when you're talking about the soul and the spirit. People get that confused all the time. I like to put our makeup as an individual this way. We are human beings, but we are spirit beings. We have a soul, and we live in a body. We are spirit beings. We have a soul, and we live in a body. The spirit man is the real you. It's where the life of God is and actually causes breath of life to be able to come to you and to sustain you. The soul, we often think of that as the mind, will, and emotions. The soul realm can be tremendously influenced by this world. And of course, we live in a body. Now, the word of God can discern between the soul and the spirit. It is sharp enough to do that. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's crucial, because often we don't know what is really going on the inside of us. The only way we know sometimes when there's something in there that we wish wasn't there is that when we're caught off guard and all of a sudden something blurts out, something comes out, and that's happened to me. And I've thought, when it happened to me before, I thought, wow, where did that come from? I didn't know that was in me. Have you ever been there? Has anybody ever had that experience? Yeah, sure. That's your real you on the inside of you, where you're convinced that you want to believe God, you're convinced you want to serve God, but all of a sudden something comes out that you never realized was there. And so when that happens, when something comes out that's negative, then you have the opportunity to say, oh Lord God, you move in me, transform me, do in me whatever I have to do to rip out everything in me that shouldn't be there, because I don't want nothing popping up at the wrong time. It can be so inconvenient. Some of you may have experienced that, but the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we must read the word of God to find out what we really need to deal with. There's things in our lives that need to come out. We need to deal with them. And the word of God is wonderful for that. Listen to this in Psalms 138:2. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above your name. Wow. You've magnified your word above your name. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But yet the word of God says that I've magnified my word above my name. Wow, how important it is to know the word. I don't know about you, but if you've never memorized scripture, I really encourage you to take some scriptures, begin memorizing them, let them wash your spirit. As you do, you will find an awareness of the spirit realm that you haven't had before. You'll find a relationship with God, relationship with Jesus that wasn't there before. If you'll take the word and get it into your spirit so that it comes out of you automatically. Proverbs 4:20, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my saying, do not let them depart from my eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all your flesh. The word of God can keep you healthy. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Charles Capps has a book out, and I think the name of it is Gospels. In other words, he refers to, you know, getting pills, medication. When you go to the doctor and he gives you a certain medication and he gives you a prescription of when to take it and how often to take it and so forth. And he's got this little book out that has a whole bunch of healing scriptures, and he calls them Gospels. And he gives you a clear prescription of how to take it, how much to take it every day and so forth. But it is health to your body and healthier to your bones and healthier flesh. To those who put the word on the shelf and never bother looking at it. No, if you did that with the medicine that you got from a physician, what would happen to you? There's nothing that wouldn't influence you at all. It's the same thing with the Word of God. It's not good enough just to know that God's Word is health to your flesh. You have to take it in. You have to receive it. You have to read it. You have to do a study on it. Notice it said it is health to all their flesh, to those who find them. If you're going to find something, you have to go looking for it. So you have to go into the Word of God, get a hold of it, and so that it can minister to your spirit, soul, and body. Because you want your spirit, soul, and body to be in excellent shape to be able to serve God. Your spirit, soul, and body can receive from the Word of God, not just your spirit and not just your soul, but your body as well. This scripture in Proverbs clearly states that. It is health to all their flesh. So the Word of God will bring me health. Say this with me. The Word of God is health to my body and refreshment to my soul. Speak that over yourself many times. Get it into the innermost part of your heart, to where the thoughts and intents of your heart abide. This will help bring life to your body as well. Now, getting the Word of God into the very depth of your being speaks to us about a part of the brain that helps us to do things unconsciously, that we just automatically do them. Some of us who have been going to our men's group on Tuesday night have learned about a part of our brain called the limbic system. And the limbic system is a part of our brain that enables us, that can actually create pathways in our brain to do things automatically, unconsciously. And there's all kinds of things that happen in our body unconsciously that we are unconscious of. You know, the general functions of the organs in our bodies happen that way. But it also helps us to be able to do things. When we do them often, we get to the place where we do them automatically. Have you ever been driving down the road? And we've had just this happen just recently. I was driving down Queen Street and just driving along, and all of a sudden the fox jumps out and runs across the road. And what happened when I seen that? Immediately, I didn't have to stop and say, "Feet, you have to move now," and go on the brake. You just automatically do it. When you see something like that, you just automatically put your foot on the brake. And there's all kinds of things that happen. You get in the car sometimes, if you drive a standard, for instance, and you are driving along and you just don't even think about shifting, you just automatically, you do that. It's part of who you are. You've done it so many times that there's pathways created in the brain so that you automatically go there. Now, there are some things that we want to keep out of that part of our being, but there's some things that we want in there. I think a real good example of this is one time Debbie and I were traveling in the United States. We're on a freeway in the United States, and we were traveling along, and there was this tractor trailer, and there was this other guy coming right behind him, and he pulled out the pass, and I was getting frustrated because going pretty slow, so I got behind that car as well, and we were trying to pass this tractor trailer, and the guy was taking a long time to get by him. And I thought, this is kind of unusual. He's taking so long to get by him. And he pulled up just in front of the tractor trailer. And all of a sudden, he pulled in front of the trailer. And there was this concrete wall in front of us, about this high. You know, one of those dividers? It was a concrete wall. We were doing about 65 miles an hour, 66 miles an hour on the freeway. And I looked over. And this was my response. I looked over. And I seen those tractor trailer wheels, and the thought came through my head, we're going to end up under those tractor trailer wheels. Now, thank God Debbie was with me, because automatically, without any other word, what came out of her spirit, "Jesus, have mercy on us." That's what she said. And I don't know how it happened yet, but the next thing I know, we were behind that tractor trailer. It was just, I know, I was just thinking about that the other day, and it was a miracle of God to me. Of what happened. But what was in her spirit came out. "Jesus, have mercy on us." What was in that limbic system that remembered that it was when tragedy comes, you automatically go to that. Amen. It's something that we want to train our minds to automatically go to the right thing when something happens. Another time, this happened many years ago when we were living in the Sable, and we were in this house, and it was early in the morning. It was Sunday morning. I can still remember it, and it was actually cold like this, and I had a rip-roaring fire going. We were burning green wood, and all of a sudden we heard something, and the whole flue started, was on fire, and just hear like a roar going forward. It sounded like a train coming through. And I ran upstairs to see what was going on, and Debbie would come behind me. "You got to pray. You got to pray now." And that was what was coming out of her spirit. Well, we have to have those things on the inside of us that will help us if we are consciously going to go there. Unconsciously, I should say, go there. We want that to happen. We want to be a people who will go to the right place, that this is what the thoughts and intents of our heart are, that we have put them in there so that we can call it on them at any given time. You see, this is what the Word of God can do to us. It can provide with us a sense of knowing who we are in the Lord, a sense of being able to say the right thing at the right time. Now, to me, I mean, those of you who probably talk a lot would say different things, but a lot of things that I have to do sometimes, because I believe in the male, we're not always this way, but in the male sex, we're a little more prone to operate by the outward side of the brain. In other words, we're not really connected with the deep recesses of our heart a lot of times, the way women are. Women seem to have a connection there that we don't. So when something bad happens, or when I hear a bad report, they look at me and they wonder, well, do you even care? But sometimes I immediately won't say anything, because I have to think, what am I going to say about this situation? Because if I just hear a report that somebody just got a report from the doctor and that they have to die and they can't live, I don't want to say something that's going to agree with that report. So I have to stop and think, what am I going to say about this situation? And it's important to stop sometimes when we hear a bad report and say, what is going to come out of my mouth? What report am I going to declare? Because the words that come out of my mouth are like prophetic words that will cause something to come to pass, cause a shift where a shift is needed. So be careful when you speak quickly. When you hear about a bad report, think about what should come out of your mouth. Sure, you need to demonstrate compassion when people are in a bad situation, but make sure that you're not agreeing with a bad report. The Word of God is always a good report if we'll pay attention to it. Listen to this scripture in Psalm 119:11. Your word I have hid in my heart so that I might not sin against you. Your word, God, your word I've hid in my heart. It doesn't mean that I've just read your word one time. Your word, I've placed it in my heart. I've hidden it there. I put a guard around it so no devil in hell can rip it out of me, so no bad report can rip it out of me. I have hid it in my heart. It is there so that I will not sin against you. And so if we've done that, when we step out to do something that we shouldn't do, the word will come alive in you and say, the word of God says this. The Word of God says this, and it will help you to keep in a place of walking with God, with the slate will be clean continually all the time. Now, if we do sin, we have an advocate before the Father. We can go to Him and say, God, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. I didn't mean to do that. Help me, God, to never do that again. And by faith, with your help, I'll never do that again. I'll walk with you, and I'll count on your help to keep me free from whatever it is that we're dealing with. Freedom in the Lord is an awesome, wonderful thing. Now, Psalms 107, verse 19, just going to read a few scriptures concerning some of the things that the Word of God speaks about healing. And you might say, well, Pastor Bill, what has this got to do with bringing my dream to pass, the dream that God gave me? What has this got to do with bringing that to pass? Looking to the Word of God for healing is crucial. You'll have a very difficult time bringing your dream to pass if you've got to spend most of your life trying to medicate something that's a problem in your body. You have to be able to take the Word and speak it into your body so that life will come from there, so that you'll be able to be free to run with God. You'll be able to be free to run with the Lord toward His dream. I remember the Apostle Paul saying about Trophimus. He said he left him in Metellus. He left him there. He was sick. He had to leave him there. Well, when you're sick, sometimes you're left behind. Sometimes you don't get to run with the things that God wants us to be involved in. And so we must learn to take the Word of God and have it wash over our bodies so that it will bring health to our bodies. Psalms 107, verse 19, the Bible talks about when the children of Israel had missed it and they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. He sent His word and healed them. That's an amazing scripture when you think of it. He sent his word and healed them. What kind of word did he send? He must have spoke something like, healing take forth amongst my people. He must have spoke something that administered healing to the children of Israel and brought them out of their destruction. I remember when Miriam rebelled against the Lord, Miriam and Aaron rebelled against Moses' authority, and as a result, she became leprous. And Moses went to the Lord before and asked him this, and he just simply gave him an instruction about how to be healed, and he spoke, Lord, heal her now. Moses said, Lord, heal her now. He spoke a word that brought healing to her body, to her flesh, and the Lord brought healing to the children of Israel. Look at Luke 5:15. After a report went out about Jesus all around the city, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of their infirmities. They came to do what? They came to, first of all, hear and to be healed. So the hearing took place first before the healing. They heard the word of God. The word of God actually brought life to them. I don't want you to underestimate the power of the word of God. Often in charismatic circles, we get so over there into wanting to see the Spirit move that we neglect sometimes the Word of God. I'm telling you, we will be stifled if we do not get the Word of God as a part of our daily life, as a part of our daily bread. The Word of God must be a part of who we are. We need food every day. How often do we eat food every day? There are things come into our bodies and strengthen our bodies. God said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So that tells us that we must take time to get the word of God into us, and the word will give us life. It will sustain us to go through some of the things that God has called us to. I hope that 2017 will be a year where you've got more of the word of God in you than you ever have in your life. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see, Jesus is the Word. He's the fulfillment of all the Word of God. There'll always be somebody around to try to get in the way of you becoming more like Christ, of you even fulfilling your dream. We mentioned this last week in Matthew chapter 16, verse 23, when Peter told Jesus, you cannot go to the cross. You cannot die at this particular time. You cannot do the things that Jesus said that he was going to do, that he was going to go to the cross and be killed. And Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. There will always be those around you who are more concerned about the things of men than the things of God. And when you hear political correctness take place, you will often find that the spirit behind that political correctness is that that spirit is trying to get you more concerned about the things of men than the things of God. They want you to be more concerned about how you're going to make men feel than whether you are obeying God or not, whether you are declaring the word of God or not. Political correctness is something that is designed to take the authority out of the word of God. But as you stand up and declare things the way they are, you call a spade, then you are more concerned about God than the things of man. You are not concerned so much about whether you're going to hurt somebody else's feelings. You are more concerned about honoring the word of God. Now, we shouldn't hurt other people's feelings if we can avoid it, but we want to make sure that we're more concerned about God than we are about men's feelings and women's feelings. Amen? Amen? I hope you're with me this morning. John 6:63 said, it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Another translation says, the words that I told you are spirit, and they give life. The words that I told you, they are spirit, and they give life. Now, if the words that Jesus spoke when he walked upon the earth gave life to his disciples and to his hearers, do you think that word still applies today? Do you think his word spoken 2,000 years ago can still give us life today? I don't know about you, but I certainly do. I believe. And you know, you can go to some of the, I believe it's the New King James Version and other versions have the words of Jesus all in red. I mean, if you want to get filled up on that, just get one of those versions, just read the words in red. And you know that you're getting life from them. Those are the words of Jesus, and they release life to you. So the Word and the Spirit help us to grow in the Lord. Both the Word and the Spirit help us grow. And we can take the Word of God and that releases to us things that we need in the natural, things that God wants us to enjoy and have. And the Spirit can remind us of some of these things. But you know, the Holy Spirit didn't come to get us a better car or a better house to live in. He didn't come necessarily to increase our standard of living. You see, there's already principles in Scripture that will help us to have a better standard of living. Given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. That's a principle that we can live by and expect to have things come back to us. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What things was he talking about? He thinks about the things, the clothes that we wear, the things that we eat, the places that we live. All these things will be added to you. The Bible says in Malachi, bring our full tithe into the storehouse, tenth of our income, and he will rebuke the devourer on our behalf, so that our barns might be filled with plenty. You see, there's principles in the Scripture that we can use and live by in order to get these things come into our lives. But the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, has come to empower us to be a witness, empower us to go out and tell others that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Holy Spirit has come to revive us, to bring us to a place where we're so filled up with God that we can't stop it, we can't hold it in, it's got to come out, so that we might be witnesses, not just to those in our immediate circle, but to the world. We are to be witnesses. We are to be transformers. We're to go out and speak the words of God to those around us. That's what the Holy Spirit has come to do. Other principles in Scripture are, if we'll follow them and live by them, then we will able to believe God for the things that we need every day. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So we have those principles to live by, and it's up to us whether we live by them or not. But the Holy Spirit has come to empower us to witness. So we take the Word and the Spirit and expect awesome things to take place, awesome things to happen, both in our personal lives and in the communities as well. Now, Lord, help us to understand these things, God. In Matthew chapter 6, I got to share this part. I can't leave it out. We'll move into communion in a couple of minutes, but I got to share this part. Matthew 6:19 says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Remember Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The thoughts and intents of the heart. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You must be careful what you treasure, and whatever you are pursuing, you must consider, is that good enough to be my God? Whatever you pursue in life, you must consider, is that good enough to worship? Is it good enough to be my God? Is that treasure good enough to be my God? Because wherever our treasure is, there our heart will be also. In other words, whatever we consider as a treasure, whatever we guard the most, whatever we spend the most time doing, whatever we make a place for in our lives, whatever we put first, that becomes a treasure in our lives. And it must be worthy of worship, because there's only one person that's supposed to have that place in our lives, the Lord Jesus Christ. Be careful what you chase after. Be careful what you run after. Be careful what you're leading your children into, because it'll become a treasure in your heart. And whatever you run after in this life, you will take it with you in the next life. Some of you will remember the morning that Debbie talked about Bob Jones's testimony when he had this vision of heaven. He was caught up to heaven, and they seen two lines, one line going to heaven, one line going to hell. And the people who were going to heaven, Jesus asked them this question: did you learn to love while you were on earth? And when they responded yes, he took them into himself. But the line going to hell, Bob Jones said it was amazing. Some people were covered with sod of the earth, and the Lord told them that he made his garden his God. Other people were totally covered with money, and the Lord told them they made money their God. See, money was their treasure. Whatever you serve here on earth, you will be subject to when you leave. How important it is to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Make sure what you have put forth as a priority is worth serving. It is worth worshiping. It is worth giving your life for. Now we want to move into the covenant meal. We want to move into this place. Now, the Word of God is an extremely, we could talk about many things, but the Word of God is an extremely important tool to see the dream that God has given you fulfilled. Another important tool given to you is the fellowship of believers. The church is an extremely important tool, is an extremely important part of who you are as a kingdom citizen in the Lord. It is extremely, you cannot neglect your fellow believers. You cannot neglect coming together as a fellow believers. You know, the Apostle Paul told us to be careful, to make sure that we discern the body of Christ correctly. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." You are the body of Christ. So when we read now in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 about the body of Christ, we are talking about one another. We are talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, his body. We are talking about us all being together as one. So we want to read that. And also in Ephesians 5:30, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." So we make up the body of Christ on earth. Have you ever thought about that? You and I make up the body of Christ while we are here on earth. We are his hands, we are his feet, we are his eyes and his ears. We make up the body of Christ here on earth. So with that in mind, let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the instruction the Apostle Paul gave us concerning participating in the covenant meal. Verse 23, the Apostle Paul said, "For I received from the Lord that which also was delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man, let a woman, let a young person examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, If you step up to the communion table in an unworthy manner, you are actually drinking, you're participating, a judgment coming onto yourself. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. In other words, for this reason, because people have not discerned the body of Christ properly, many have fallen sick, and many have actually died. I wonder what could the body of Christ look like if we all discerned the body of Christ correctly. The word discern there actually means to separate, to make a distinction, to prefer. It also means to prefer. So it would mean that we are to discern that we are people who are separated unto God, that we are a special people, that we are a peculiar people. We have become separated unto the Lord. We're not just like everybody else. You see, God says that you are to discern this and you are to treat one another with the utmost of honor. You must discern the Lord's body. Now, some people have gotten out of church. I mean, obviously, I'm not talking to them this morning because you're here. But some people, you know, have gotten away from church and they are no longer a part of church. Yes, they'd say that they're a Christian, so forth. But I would like to ask them this question. How can you possibly properly discern the Lord's body if you're not even together with the body? How can you possibly discern that? You see, the body of Christ is special in God's eyes the same way as a family is special to a father or a mother. And every one of them, he wants every one of them to come together as a body of believers, and that we are to honor one another. This is something I want you to ask yourself this week. We are here as a family of believers at Faith Work Center. This is a place that we call home in our spiritual walk. Now, there's all kinds of other churches out there, and I pray that they would do the same thing in their particular body. But I want you to ask yourself, what can I do this week in order to exercise this properly discerning the Lord's body? What can I do in the body of Christ today that would show honor to them? This week, what could I show? What could I do to show honor to the body of Christ here at Faith Work Center this week? Now, surely we can come up with something. Surely there's something that you can do in order to show honor. You see, we must be proactive about these things. We just can't read them and say, yes, I guess that's true, and then go home and act like we never heard it before. We must put some of these things into practice because God is raising up a body of believers, a powerful army of the Lord to go out and to make a difference in this society. And if we are a disciplined people, empowered by the Word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, recognizing who the body of Christ is, and showing honor to one another, I believe that there's nothing from hell that could ever stop the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ moving forward. But it must be practiced. Not good enough just to have a concept in our head. We must practice it and get it deep down within our spirit so we'll automatically do the right thing. We'll automatically stand up for what's right. Now, as we come to the Lord's table this morning, I want us to be reminded that this covenant includes a healing covenant in God. This covenant includes the fact that Jesus paid the price for our healing. Worship team, you can come on up now as we're going.